So, I wonder if I ever told you the story about how XMLRPC came about. And the reason why it's kind of interesting is right now I think we're on the verge of something very similar to that. And I'm thinking that maybe this, not maybe, I'm pretty sure this time we're going to take a lot further. So here's the story. I'm going to try to keep it really short. So we had just ported Frontier, which is our scripting environment for on the Mac. We had converted it to Windows, and so we had it on the Mac and Windows at the same time. This was 1997, I think, probably would be probably the right year. Anyway, and Frontier scripting environment, object database, editor, debugger, really big verb set, so you could like you had a lot of everything was solved. There was one way to do all these things that in JavaScript there are like 50 million ways to do. And we had networking. It was really big on networking. It was if you put all that stuff together, and it had a high level user interface because all these components were really intimately connected to each other. We had really grinded over factoring so that if we saw a way to connect them together, we did it. So lots of really interesting things and very good for network applications. And so we had already like done all the HTML site rendering stuff. It was a HTML framework was what we called it, and it was like an iterative bootstrap process. So we understood how content was written and flowed, but we didn't have we well we were developing tools for that and layers in layers. So having and one more thing, the Mac had really good networking, and that was all supported. So you could build these apps and have nodes all over the place, and if you had a complicated workflow, you could do that. And why? Because I don't know, we were doing our big market was desktop publishing or pre-production of all the magazines and news organizations, everybody that printed stuff. And back then there was a lot of that. They all eventually needed Frontier, and then it was bundled with one of the biggest products, and so like it went pretty deep into that market. But Apple, I guess, felt threatened. I don't know. They didn't appreciate what we were doing. There's a lot of bad stuff happening at Apple, and we were part of one of the bad things that happened there. So we were looking for a new way to do this, and we couldn't depend on the Mac anymore, so we converted to Windows. Now the question is, how do we have these things communicate with each other? Because while Apple had their networking, Windows had completely incompatible different networking. And then one day it hit me, and I wrote a blog post about it, as I pretty much still do, because whatever, because like, I don't know, I just do it. And it was called HTTP plus XML equals RPC. I probably got it a little bit wrong, but that was the basic idea. If you we could do what Apple networking was doing and what Windows networking was doing, and you could write it so that it all worked the same way. And so I wrote the piece, and we did a plan, and then I get a call from Bob Atkinson at Microsoft, who I'd known. I did a lot of little stuff with Microsoft at an executive level because they were all reading my blog. My blog was like really, especially at Microsoft. I mean, Bill Gates was a regular reader, and that meant everybody was reading it because he would forward them around the company. He would ask people what they think about this or that, and I loved it. I thought that was great because, and the people that I met at Microsoft were up to date on what I was doing, and I get a call like this from Atkinson, and he says, well, we really want to do something like that. And I said, would you like to work with us? And I said, yeah, sure. What the fuck? Let's do it. So we set up a meeting. I flew up. I was living in California at the time. I flew up to Redmond, sat down, met another guy who works with him. And he changed his name, so I'm not going to use his old name because there was a reason he changed it. And it's a whole other story. He's a wonderful guy, this guy. They both were. And they had been talking about it, and I'm going to do a spoiler alert here, because it actually turns out it's a lot easier for a guy like me to do it than it is for guys like them. And these were programmers who had been at Microsoft for many years and had done very important projects for the company and had not wanted to become managers. They wanted to keep doing that. And I like totally get it. That's me. I mean, once I had a chance to exit the corporate world, I took it and I said, I'm out of here. And I thought I was going to build another company, and I never got around to building the company. I kept doing software because once I didn't have to build a company, I never got around to it. But they're very well compensated. They get stock. They have big titles. But they can't get something like this to happen inside their company. They can't. I had seen it before with Jean-Louis Gasset at Apple. He was the number two guy at Apple. And Apple was already a pretty big company at the time. He wanted me to do a scripting environment. And I think he was pretty open about it, actually, because he couldn't get the guys at Apple to do it. Ultimately, I don't think he got what he wanted, because once the Apple engineers got wind of this shit, they really put a lot of roadblocks in our way. See, that's what I don't like. I think developers shouldn't do that, actually. I think we should all be in favor of progress, you know, and don't do things to hold things back, you know. But that wasn't Apple at that time. He warned me about this. He really did. And I was like quite naive, thinking, how could they possibly not love this? This is great stuff, man. And he said, okay, well, it's all right. And he got, like I said, they did a scripting environment, but it was, yeah, whatever. Not a really good idea, in my humble opinion. So anyway, I flew up there. And I think 2 days, a guy named Don Box came too. He was another independent guy who right after this got a job at Microsoft. I think he's even still there. This is a long time ago, you know. And I don't think it was 1 day or 2 days. And we did it. Actually, I think what actually happened is we had a meeting. We talked about it. We sketched out some ideas. Then we all went back. And Mohsen sent me, oh, that was his first name, okay. That was the guy whose name I didn't want to use. He sent me an example. What do you think? I said, well, what's this for? What's that for? What does this do? Why is that there? And so forth. I went on the phone. And he had good answers, and I didn't necessarily, because their idea of networking was radically different from my idea. My idea was RPC, because, I don't know, because I understood it. Because every programmer has to understand procedure calls, or function calls, whatever you want to call them. At the very most basic level, everything is a function call. I know people who will say that that's not true, but if you go deep enough, it is, because, you know, if you go to machine language, those are all function calls. And, you know, you build up a stack and never get more complicated than that. And a lot of people are going to be able to do it. And, you know, and so later on, I did. Today I understand what they were trying to do. They wanted these things to be objects, and they wanted to have classes, and they wanted to have things be more extensible. And anyway, so I don't know, right then and there, I said, okay, let's go for it. Let's do that. And I documented it. I didn't wait. I just documented it. And then I sent a link to the document to the other three guys. And I never heard back from any of them. That's it. Never heard back. Of course, I pinged them. Said, well, what do you want me to do? Should I put your name on this? Et cetera, et cetera. Nothing. So I published it. And I did not put their names on it. I felt very conflicted by that because it wasn't my creation. On the other hand, we built the reference implementation for it in Frontier. And we put up a test server that you could test your apps against. And I think that's it. And then, of course, evangelized it like crazy. I mean, I had a blog at that point that everybody was reading. And so I could start a conversation in the tech industry at will, simply just by writing about it. And I know a lot of people resented that, but I didn't mind it at all, because I was able to get shit done. I mean, like this. And then later on, I went to visit Bob in Seattle. He had retired and was off doing other things. So I said, Bob, what happened there? Actually, it wasn't there. No, actually, sorry about that. It was soap. That's a whole nother story, okay? But it surfaced inside of Microsoft eventually, I think years later, as soap. Sorry about that. And it went to the W3C, and I was invited to come to the meetings, and I went to the first one, and there were 100 people in the room, and they weren't my kind of people. They were people that go to W3C meetings, and it's a full-time job for these people. And it's also the people from all the different fiefdoms at all the major tech companies, because they all wanted to make sure that they were represented. And, I could go on and on about this. I'm very cynical about that process, and it didn't yield anything useful, whereas XMLRPC did. But that was the problem. The problem is that they were within a very large, complicated company where you couldn't sell an idea. It couldn't stay simple. It had to accommodate. And this was what was wrong with the tech industry. And they were bringing it to the web, and it was unnecessary. And they were not preserving the spirit of the web at all. They were basically rebuilding the mess that they had built before. And just because they used the same process, all the people meant well, presumably. Probably some didn't, actually. But there you have it. That's the story. Now, I don't think this will happen here. But be careful about that. That's my advice, is that when you think, well, what can go wrong? Well, just because you haven't thought of it doesn't mean it's not there. Okay, well, thanks for listening. Talk to you later. Bye.